fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
First round of the Stanley Cup playoffs will come to a conclusion this week with Montreal and Boston already through. Anaheim and Chicago in the Western Conference side round out the respective division final matchups. Darren Millard here at Hockey Central with Nick Kyprios, Doug McLean, and Scott Morrison. In a little bit, we'll be joined by one of the Norris Trophy finalists, Zdeno Chara. The Boston Bruins will pop by on this program. He is a finalist along with Shea Weber and Duncan Keith, as the Blackhawks put on a show against the St. Louis Blues. We also have news out of Carolina where Jimmy Rutherford is stepping down, making that official this hour. Washington makes a decision on its coach and its manager, and Calgary has hired Brad Treliving as the general manager under Brian Burke. So plenty to get to today. Start with the playoffs themselves and the teams that have advanced. Chicago, is there any more impressive performance? I realized that L.A. did it a year ago against Seton Lewis. We watched Philadelphia rally from 3-0 down a couple of seasons ago against the Boston Bruins. But the way Chicago lost those first two games, and as heartbreaking as it was, to still roll off three straight wins against a team like St. Louis.
Yeah, and you don't have to look any further than their core guys, their nucleus. And while we were impressed what St. Louis was able to do during the regular season, they don't have gamers like Chicago does. And it's Jonathan Toews. Like, in all honesty, guys, and I've always been, you know, and we've heard it the last few years that, you know, it's Crosby and Toews. And you almost gave Crosby the benefit of the doubt for being the guy. But I think Toews is past him.
I think that was Toews' finest moment.
He is a gamer. And you look across at St. Louis and you go, in my opinion, after watching that series, they have one gamer. One gamer.
Yeah.
Who is it?
I don't know who it is.
Tarasenko.
But I'll tell you it's a lot more than just Toews. Toews was terrific and he deserves all the credit in the world. But I mean, this was a lot more than just, first of all, it was Toews and Kane. The longer the series went,
gamers,
the healthier they got. They hadn't played a game in 5 weeks going into the playoffs. So you knew the longer it went, they were going to get healthy. But Oduya and Shomlison, the job they did in this series was unbelievable. The job Keith did, the job Hossa did. What about the guy that we kept throwing under the bus, or not we, is Crawford. He outplayed Miller in this series. It wasn't close for me, the way he outplayed Miller. So there's a lot of guys. Yeah, Toews is the guy, and Kane is the guy.
But they're game.
But I'll tell you what,
changers.
They got a lot of guys that really.
And there's not that many in the league.
Well, it's always easy to go to the stars, and they are the stars. But there's a lot of other horses that did a lot for that team.
But their stars played and at the level or beyond the level of superstars.
And hadn't played in 5 weeks.
Scotty?
Yeah. No, it took them time to round into form.
Wow.
And they were dominant. And to your point, Nick, they did change that series. And you think about, had they been able to protect the lead, they could have swept that series.
How about Seabrook?
They were playing that well.
How about Seabrook changing the series?
Without Tarasenko, I think they may have swept the series.
Yeah.
Right? And I look at St. Louis, and I got swept into, you know, what they were able to do during the regular season, but When you look at Backes, I look at Backes and I go, that guy's not a legitimate Stanley Cup contending number one centerman. I'm sorry.
If he's on Toronto, he might be.
I'm sorry, but you don't have what it takes offensively to be a number one on a Cup contending team. He'd be a perfect number two. A perfect number two if you had a guy in front of him that could put the puck and create more. This team finished the regular season. Okay, they scored 7 goals in their last 8 games. Okay, that's not. Yeah. That's not. That's just not a slump. That's just a bad
offensive
team.
They're also missing seven forwards.
But just a minute. There's too few number
one. And they
weren't
missing as many, Scott, and they still struggled to create. To put the puck in the net, they couldn't get it done.
But there's too few number one centermen in the league to say Backes isn't a number one centerman. If you had Backes with Kessel, then all of a sudden he is a bona fide number one centerman.
I don't buy it.
Well, there's not enough. What, you got five of them in the league?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you got 5-0 or 100. He's not one.
He is number one centerman. Yeah, he is.
Well, he got eaten up alive in this first round, and
I
get the fact that he was rocked, okay?
Yeah.
But this guy can't score. He can't create.
Maybe we should give Seabrook a little credit for turning this series around, too, because when Backes went down, they were done. They were done.
It's Hockey Central presented by Lexus on the Park with Darren Millard, along with Scott Morris and Doug McClain and Nick Kiprios. How does it happen 2 years in a row that they win the first two at home and then drop not just the series, but lose the next four? Keeping in mind that they made the change, they got their guy in goal. So they took care of that Achilles heel.
Well, number one, they're playing really good teams. So you got to give them some credit that they're playing the LA Kings, they're playing the Chicago Blackhawks.
Lose a series? Fine. Put up 2-0.
I know, and it's frustrating, but... And like Nick said it, they limped into the playoffs, which was a bad omen to start with. They weren't sure of themselves, but they played two real good teams. And they need maturing offense. They need Oshie to become a real player, Tarasenko to become a real player. They still have got some growth there. I love their back end. Their goaltending is going to be another question mark next year if Miller doesn't stay and where does he go?
And you got to question whether Hitchcock's the right guy. I'm sorry, but I see him and you can always say the right things, Mac. We talked about that when you're looking for a job or you come in and there's a honeymoon period. But I think that this guy just grinds them right down to the bone. And they play from the beginning of training camp. It's almost like a playoff atmosphere where you just constantly ride these guys. And I think it catches up to Hitch. And it caught up to him again in the first round.
Sure didn't.
And I get the fact that Ryan Miller wasn't there. They needed the Patrick Sharp save. That can't go in. I'm sorry.
That can't
go in.
No.
All right?
Well,
and I give him full blame on that.
Did you hear Hitchcock after? It wasn't exactly a recruiting speech.
Well, they don't like each other.
To Ryan Miller.
They don't like each other.
Well,
okay? They don't like each other. I don't think there's much respect
I didn't hear what he said.
Well, he didn't slam him, but he said...
Well, he said it was a backbreaker. And he said we had to have a save there.
Yeah.
And he wasn't wrong.
Yeah. You know, with Hitch, and I mean, I was with him for a while, and I know when it ended in Columbus, and I was gone when it ended in Columbus, but it was the same.
Would you make a change?
I think Doug Armstrong is going to have to seriously consider it. I really do. I think that he's going to have to seriously consider making a change to move ahead. And that's, you know, I still think Ken Hitchcock's a good coach, but it catches up, and it caught up at the end of the season.
The knowledge of the game, the technical aspect, I think Hitch is really good. I really do. And I think in a perfect environment, like a Team Canada, where he's not behind the bench, you know, with his comments, that players roll their eyes or feel like it's just condescending, negative, that's where he gets himself in trouble, okay? He grinds them. And I don't know if he can do that anymore with these guys.
If there's a guy coaching in the NHL that doesn't know his X and O's, that's bizarre to me. All you have to do is read a damn book to know X and O's. That's all you have to do.
Not really.
Scotty, what do you think happens there?
Yeah, it's all you have to do.
I think Doug hit it on the head with that team and Nick previously, but they don't have that next level of player. And then they're hard to find, the Tays and the Canes and those types.
But they don't have that guy yet.
But I think Doug nailed it, too, is that it's a maturing team. So I'm not sure that coaching was the difference in that series.
No.
So I think you come back with them and you see what you can
do. It's just shocking that it
happens.
Bomeister. Game breaker? Not a chance. No. Not a chance. Okay? Shattenkirk, good, but game breaker? No.
Petrangelo? Yes.
Will be.
Yes.
This was thought of as a legitimate Western Conference
contender
to reach the Stanley Cup final, and they go out four straight
after winning their first two games. They lost to the defending Stanley Cup champions.
I know. But it's just the 2 years in a row that bothers me.
Yesterday, they were all close games.
You have to make a decision as a management team, who is going to take you to the next level? This was a team, and look, it was out there. The last month, there was a lot of discontent around this hockey team. It was out there, all over. So as a management team, you've got to say, okay, we can't lose in the first round next year or the general manager is going to be in trouble. So, you know, you've got to make a conscious decision if you're going to find somebody that's going to take you to the next step and change it up. Tell Not you what, that you're going to get a better, but you need somebody to change it up.
Ken Hitchcock didn't do himself many favors when he rolled through Toronto late in the season. And kind of, I don't know whether it came out wrong or what.
They couldn't get him off the podium.
But he seemed to take a couple of shots at Randy Carlyle. Talked about coaching in April and that kind of thing. So,
yeah. Karma is a...
It hurts you.
That's not the saying, but that's close.
I'll tell you what.
How about Anaheim? Congratulations to Bruce Boudreau, who gets past the first round again.
Yes.
It's been a while there. And Bruce Boudreau did it in thrilling fashion. And again, another goalie controversy.
Almost got himself in trouble. But Hiller came in and shut the door.
Not only that, this whole Timo Salani thing.
What was he thinking?
Did he dodge a bullet? Or, you know, seriously. And then Timo comes in and plays great last night.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, like, I hated it. I'm sorry.
Is
but
Timo hurt, though?
No.
You hated what? The fact that
he
scratched?
I hated the fact that he scratched him.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't like the way he handled it. I didn't think there's different rules for different players, and he falls into the rule that you don't tell him the day of a game he's not playing. I'm sorry. But, you know, if you feel now that you're going to be in a position down the road to make Timo Salani a healthy scratch, you start that in game number 49, 56.
They did sit him out.
Okay.
They did sit Timo out and paced him.
Okay. But was it to the point where, hey, listen.
That was to rest him for the playoffs.
I'm telling you that there's a chance that I may not use you. So just,
In the playoffs,
to me, it had a chance to derail the whole thing. And good on for Timo for rebounding in an amazing game 6. And hey, listen, the bottom line for coach is you got to win. You got to win, and he did.
And what Boudreau said, I don't disagree on that, that Timo's should be handled differently. There's lots of veterans should be. But when Bruce was on with us, he made an interesting comment. I said, who are these guys? Who are these guys that are your secondary guys? And he said, they're really good players that not many people know about. Well, last night, Cogliano, Bonino, I mean, Pelly Smith. Did they step up and get the job done for him? Their big guys came through as well, Perry and, you know, and Getzlaff. But really, their secondary guys did the job for them. And he was bragging about those guys, Bruce.
Anaheim faces the winner of San Jose, LA. Are we watching something special happen in that series?
Which one?
With LA coming back?
Wow. I couldn't, but I was blown away the first 3 games. I mean, I picked LA to win this series, which a lot of us did. And I'm thinking, what the hell is going on with this hockey team?
Yeah.
And then now all of a sudden, oh my God, it's scary. It's going 7.
Wow, more on that in just a moment. Here is Norris Trophy finalist, former Norris Trophy winner, Zdeno Chara on Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park with Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, Doug McClain, and Scott Morrison. Congratulations, 4 straight after dropping the opener, 1 over the minimum. Must be feel nice to get through this in 5.
Yeah, it was a tougher series than maybe the score showed, but for sure Detroit is a great team, and we were very pleased to be able to beat them in 5 games.
Does your heart rate increase instantly when I say Boston against Montreal?
Not really. I mean, we're used to it now. I mean, we always play big games, and we always meet in a playoff. So it's kind of by now it's kind of an old thing.
You were pretty excited when you scored that power play goal. That's as excited I've seen you in a long time.
Yeah. You know what? We had only a few seconds, before the end of the period, and we wanted to get it done, we were kind of drawing a play and didn't go as we kind of planned it, but, you know, it ended up being a big goal for us. And you always want to kind of score that kind of a late goal to put the team on the heels. And it worked. We got a lot of jump from that goal and carried into the third. And you know, we were able to finish the game and in the series. So that was big for us.
Hey Z, Saturday night I had dinner with some people that I met, and they're from Montreal. Obviously, huge Canadian fans. But he was adamant in telling me how much more the fans hate Boston compared to almost anyone else, and that includes the rivalry with Toronto. Do you feel that extra passion for this particular series more than any other series that you've come across?
We know how much passionate, how much more passionate the fans are, especially when Montreal is playing us. So yes, we are aware of it, but I don't think it bothers us more than anything else or any other team. We just try to really focus on the things we do on the ice and how we can, be successful. So you know, we just want to play our way, and we know that it's going to be obviously a big rivalry. So like I said, it's something that we by now we're used to it.
A couple of games ago at the end, I think it was the end of the second period, you had a dance with Riley Smith's brother at the end of the period. Were you any special message you deliver there?
Oh, no, really. I think I've said it many times. It's just a part of the playoffs. You know, you see different players stepping up and you know, they play harder than maybe they used to in the regular season, and that's just a part of it. So, really, you know, those kind of interactions do happen in the playoffs. You see that, you know, especially, first few rounds, everybody is very motivated. Everybody's playing with a lot of energy, and those kind of battles are pretty common. So, yeah, that's just the way it is.
Hockey Central presented by Lexus on the Park, chatting with Boston Bruin captain Zdeno Chara. Any chance that you know some insight as to when the series might start? Have you heard any suggestions?
No, I don't think we will know till. I think all the games are kind of done tonight, and we'll see if there's probably any of the games or the series that are going to the game seven or not. We'll see. Honestly, I have no idea.
GM Pete Chiarelli was juggling a lot of balls in the air early in this season when he was losing defensemen left, right, and center. And I'll tell you what, just anxious to hear your thoughts on these three kids. Krug, Barkowski, and Hamilton, and what they've done for your hockey team. You look mobile, but just young guys stepping into a real good team.
Yeah, you know what? A lot of people are still calling them kids. You know, obviously they are young, but you know they've been with us over a year now, over a calendar year. So they step in, last year during the playoffs, they handled the situation really well. They've been playing the full season this season. So, I mean, they've been with us long enough to know what we kind of expect from them and what we are all about as a team. So a lot of credit to them because they handled us really well and they made some huge strides on our back end. So it's obviously nice to see them being such a big help.
When you are going through a playoff run on the off nights, do you watch other action?
Not early on. First round, I don't, you know, there's so many games and there's so much, in the papers and in TVs and all that. So, you know, you kind of try to, you know, just relax and get some rest from it. As the playoffs goes on, then yeah, you probably like to watch more and more and follow up, you know, your possible opponents. But I didn't watch too much of the first round games.
You know, if you talk about the way that, you know, the games are officiated earlier in the year compared to now, it seems that players might be getting a little away with a little bit more. Does that favor you guys in your style of play?
Oh, I wouldn't say it's favoring us. I mean, it's just, I wouldn't say it's just players getting away with it. But, you know, like I said, there's a lot of battles going on. And you know, sometimes it's hard to see every battle or everything that's happening on the ice. So, you know, referees are trying to do their best job to get, the games under control. But sometimes, obviously, it's not possible because, you know, there's so many battles going on.
Not sure when, but Hockey Central's heading back out on the road for the second round. We'll catch up with you in Boston as you take on the Montreal Canadiens. Appreciate you taking the time, and congratulations on a Norris Trophy nomination.
Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate your call.
It's a Dan Oshara, captain of the Boston Bruins.
Does he look good?
Yeah.
And the other guy, that big guy that plays up on the wing for them, how mm-hmm. good has he looked?
Number 17?
Oh, I mean, really, how good does he look?
Scary.
Did he? And the Krug made the great pass to him on that goal, but did he slap? Oh, my God, he's a horse.
He's a runaway freight train.
Just physically scary out there.
Yes. I was scared watching him in ball hockey last summer when I saw him lumbering up and down the floor in ball hockey in Calgary.
We're going to have a lot of space on this show to talk about Montreal and Boston.
Wow, what a series.
That's Terry O'Reilly, what do you think goes through his bones when he hears Zdeno Chara say, you know, we play them a lot, and not really special anymore.
Yeah.
It is.
Yes. It's a great history.
You know, Detroit had a great finish to get into the playoffs, and then you look at that series, and you see the guys that got them in, like you feel for Tatar and Nyquist, never got a point in this series. That's how tough the Boston Bruins are when the hottest guys in the NHL coming into the playoffs are totally snuffed out by the Boston Bruins. And they're young.
I mean, and no one saw Tuukka Rask coming in and doing what he's been able to do since Tim Thomas left.
Here's the thing, though.
To me, again,
he's good.
Everybody looks great when you get that type of goaltending. 6 goals he gave up in the first round. 6.
Yeah. Consider this, and you will hear about this throughout the week. It's going to pick up some steam. His numbers against the Montreal Canadiens
are not good.
Are dramatically different than any other opponent. Right.
But how many wins did Budaj have during the regular season? Did he get one or two?
They played Budaj against Boston instead of Carey Price.
That's one of the biggest things I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to seeing Price versus Rask and who's going to win that battle. And also anxious to see Desharnais' line. You talk about number one centerman in the league. Desharnais' line with Vanek and Pacioretty go every shift against
and
Chara.
As big as Montreal played in the first round, can they still look big? Can they play big? They'll never look big. But Desharnais, Gionta, right?
They're good. They're gutsy guys.
Daniel Briere had some great moments in the opening round. Can they look big? Can they make big plays against a physical team like this?
Because Tampa showed very little physical play in that series. Very little physical play in that series.
And Montreal's speed was a difference maker in that series.
Well, you go from a series in Montreal-Tampa Bay, which you had to search high and low for any type of intense physical battling, hatred, meanness.
Hard to find.
To the opposite.
We didn't even see it hardly in game 4.
And the history between Chara and Pacioretty, the history between Montreal and Boston.
We saw it with Stamkos.
We saw it from Stamkos.
Stamkos.
But it ended there. Yeah. It ended with Stamkos.
News out of the National Hockey League. Carolina has made it official. Jimmy Rutherford stepping down, and Ron Francis takes over as general manager. So passing the baton.
That's a worst kept secret.
Again, making it official.
A guy that I worked with a lot and had a ton of conversations with as a general manager, one of the great guys in the game for me, Jimmy Rutherford. I've known him for 25 years. And
anywhere to feel stay on?
Always a great guy
He's going to remain with the team as president in an advisory role.
And I like the fact that Ronnie Francis has not only paid his, is a great NHLer, but he's paid his dues in management. I think it's a great transfer there. I really think it's a great move, and I think Ronnie Francis has a chance to be really good.
And you watch too; he's gonna get a guy like Rod Brind'Amour more involved now. Keep an eye on that. Another pretty good.
Why wasn't Rod more involved before?
I just think more visible.
He wanted to pick up his kids from school and stuff, like Nick said, with the other guys. Busy picking up kids.
Kirk Muller's down as coach.
That's the key.
You know what? Again, it's almost as if the longer it goes, the better chances.
I hope that's the case.
You know,
what about Cam Ward?
And let's be honest here. Cam Ward's been part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Eric Staal's been part of the problem. That there is this country club kind of atmosphere that these guys are highly paid. You know, they got in early with the membership when they won the Stanley Cup, and they haven't done enough. They haven't done enough, and they've been rewarded. And you know, maybe it's Jimmy's fault. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it was more systematic. But those guys never got those bridge contracts. They just went from coming in, winning the cup, becoming $6 and $8 million players. And maybe, you know, at that age, it's tough to understand the responsibility that comes with it, but they were guilty. Cam Ward was guilty. And whether or not he can still turn this thing around remains to be seen.
It'll be easier to move a Cam Ward, for instance, with the change of general manager because of the relationship Jimmy had with him. So that will open a door for a possibility for them.
I think Eric Cole's a heck of a player. But here's what bothered me about what's gone on there. You watch Eric Cole starts to a season.
Eric Staal.
By the time Eric Staal got his game going, they were out of the playoffs. I mean, the first 15, 20 games, this guy is hard to put points on the board. And then he gets hot, and then it's too late.
They were in it. They were back in the hunt at the Olympic break, and then they all kind of shut down. They had a bad run at the end, too.
Saving the Calgary conversation for our next block when we can bite into the topic a little bit more with Brad Treliving taking over as general manager. But Washington, there was writing on the wall there that this was the potential with both the coach and the general manager. That's not as big a surprise as the multiple questions about who takes over and in what roles. We've heard Gretzky's name from John Shannon out there.
Well, he wants the job.
As president?
He wants the job.
Or general manager?
He'd welcome it. I know he'd welcome
as GM or president.
You know what? He wouldn't go in as GM. I think that'd be at a place where it would have to be president, hockey ops kind of thing.
Do you need somebody
where it is.
Of Wayne Gretzky's stature to be able to take over that team with Alexander Ovechkin?
I think if Ted Lyons has a chance to get Wayne Gretzky to go in as president of hockey ops, he should be all over it. Because it's unlike, and Eric Dehatchuk wrote this, I just saw it recently, yesterday or today, where there's no history guy. You know, they brought in Dale Hunter, and there's nobody that's in the history of the franchise that's that key guy like a Ronnie Francis or some of these guys, Sakic, and name them all. But to me, Wayne, it's like if you're a G, if I'm Dave Nonis and Wayne Gretzky comes in as president hockey ops, I don't have a problem with it because of it's Wayne Gretzky. Other people, I might have a problem with it. But I think it would be a great hire if they can get Wayne back in and in Washington. I think it'd be terrific.
When these openings come up, Scott, you hear the familiar names and they're cycled through. But you hear people like Jason Botterill, Jim Benning.
Not for this job.
Paul Fenton.
I think they need someone of stature, to Doug's point, to come in and get Ovechkin's attention and get him pointed in the right direction. I mean, half the game was there, clearly with the goal scoring, and half of it wasn't there with the huge minus. So, and this guy has been a work in progress.
I'm going to tell you why I'd hire Wayne Gretzky. Because if you don't hire somebody that can get the great eight under control, I was talking to somebody yesterday that happens to play on this hockey team. And this guy walks into the weight room and does arm curls and walks out. And that's your captain and your leader? I mean, come on, boys. That's a major situation there. And a guy like Gretzky could handle that, in my opinion. But that's got to be fixed for this team to move in the right
direction. Those curls work on the offensive zone.
They work on the beach. I'm not making light of it. Mm-hmm. They need...
He's a different guy, though.
You gotta have
it's kind of unfair because
some accountability.
We now compare everybody to Jonathan Toews.
No, you gotta have
Stamkos.
He's not that guy.
You need accountability. There's too many guys that have zero accountability, and I think a guy like Wayne changes.
Well, you know
that.
What Wayne would do? Wayne would get three guys around him with tremendous character, and you almost embarrass him to say, grab a, you know.
Who are those names?
And you need strong character guys. Yeah. That's what you do.
You mean players?
Players.
Yeah.
Oh, players.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
That's what you do. You bring in and you kind of insulate them with three or four quality character guys, and you almost say, okay, you know what? We get that you score goals, but it isn't your team.
I'm curious to see how this is going to go.
Until you get it.
When you look at Green.
Okay.
Green.
Back.
And Backstrom.
Nicholas Backstrom.
And Ovi with a minus 75 between the three of them. Boys, come on.
You get a new coach, a new general manager. Ovi takes that one of two ways. He respects those guys and buys in. Or he thinks, I've been here longer than anybody else. This is my team.
Wow. Well, if he goes that route, then you're doomed as a franchise.
But
I think, as Doug mentioned it, if you bring someone of stature in, someone that will command that respect, and then you surround him with a veteran presence in that room to take over the leadership, then I think he'd be happy to come along for the ride.
What about the Hunter brothers taking over general manager and coach like they do in London?
As much as I love the Hunters, that's oil and water. With Ovi.
But don't you need some oil here?
Well, there's sometimes you can get where you want to go with just a little pat in the back once in a while. Like, I think Wayne would be, like, Wayne has lived the superstar life. And then Wayne would have to bring in somebody to do the nuts and bolts of the job. Because Wayne is not going to be interested. I mean, Wayne wants to be the big guy. There's no doubt about that. But the day-to-day, you know, he's going to need, and he's smart enough to realize that. And he shouldn't coach, by the way.
The Calgary Flames have a new general manager. Brian Burke has made his decision. Brad Treliving is the man. Brad Treliving takes over as general manager, coming over from the Phoenix Coyotes. We'll chat about that, plus the three games tonight, three series that could end. It's Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park, on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Cooler than Math Club, and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Hockey Center presented by Lexus on the Park. John Shannon's in the studio, just hanging out. He's over there. You can't hear him, but he's here. Hi, Shannon.
Now, how are you with a new Shanny in town? Does that bother you at all? You know, are you
the change his nickname? I think
somebody's got to change a nickname. This town is not big enough for two Shannies.
Let's go back to Shannon. Just call him Shannon. That's what it used to be. Shannon. Hey, Shannon. That's what you like. Just more assertive.
Or JS. Darren Millard, along with Nick Kiprios, Doug McLean, and Scott Morrison. We're heading back out in the road for round two, the Atlantic Division Final between Boston and Montreal.
Bags are packed.
We just don't know when we're leaving. Three games tonight. Get to that in just a moment. But Calgary hires the general manager. We've waited a long time for this, but Brad Treliving is set to replace. What was a bizarre situation in Jay Feaster and Brian Burke, because everybody knew it wasn't going to work. What's the connection between Treliving and Brian Burke?
Well, Brian's made a decision that, look, he's got an opportunity to hire a George McPhee or somebody like that, and he makes a decision he's going to go with a first-time GM. Obviously, to me, Brad Treliving, I hear good things about him. I think he's done a good job, he and Don Maloney in Phoenix. I like to see a young guy like that get an opportunity, but it also indicates that Brian Burke's going to be the guy there. He's going to be the main guy, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And Brad's going to need another year or two to learn.
So there's
And you got an experienced guy in Brian that will teach him, you know, and work with him. But you're right. It doesn't put the pressure on, say, a George McPhee to come in right away here and make decisions or put his fingerprints on the team. Brad doesn't have to do that.
Brad's been the assistant general manager in Phoenix for a number of years.
I never thought for a minute that George McPhee would be the guy in there.
There was a lot of talk about
that. There was a lot of talk, and I never thought for a minute that he would be the guy because two reasons. Berkey wants a guy that's a less experienced guy, which I understand. Yeah. And George would want to be his own man and not I couldn't see George working for Brian Burke.
I could see George in Vancouver.
That's a different story. I could see that. I think that's a fit that might be something worth looking at.
And
where
some history
would be less hands on.
Yes.
Yeah. Boy.
And a president, there. I think, that knows him that through their relationship there in the past. And
a president that needs a very experienced hockey guy with him. You, like, for and that's going back to the Brad. You can't, if you're Trevor Linden, you cannot hire a Brad Treliving type of guy. And this is not a knock on Brad Treliving.
But you just need a balance. But you need a balance.
You need a very experienced guy. And that's why I think George is a nice fit for Vancouver.
So now it's a race between Washington and Vancouver to get that guy. Because they both need somebody that's been in the seat before.
I think.
Just wait for the first and second round to finish and maybe we'll see a few more races.
Yeah. Tonight, three series could come to a close. The Metropolitan Division semifinal between Pittsburgh and Columbus. Then you have the Central Division semifinal between Colorado and Minnesota. Avalanche leading 3-2. Another thrilling comeback and win in overtime. And the Pacific Division semifinal, Los Angeles looking for a third straight win and force a deciding game against San Jose. They're all interesting. But of the three teams trying to close this out, is there a more desperate team than the Pittsburgh Penguins trying to avoid a winner-take-all with what's happened the last 2 years and now again in the first five games of this set?
Well, and the goalie issue coming into the equation.
So what are you saying?
You don't want to be in a game seven.
If they win the first round, then they're okay. They could lose in the second one. And No, you're wrong. They cannot exhale. They need a conference final.
Oh, I agree, but I think getting over that hump would be a huge thing for Marc-Andre.
Yeah. Give them a little bit of confidence going down.
Don't even think about the second round till you get out of Columbus tonight, because the way that atmosphere has been and
the energy.
I mean, look, Columbus were god-awful the other night. They didn't. I mean, that score could have been 10-2 in that particular game because they were on a mission, Pittsburgh, to dominate 50 to 20-some the shots. It was total domination. Now, can they come back? Columbus are going to be against it. This tonight is going to be a tough, tough put out. This will be a tough takeout for Pitt.
The wheels that would be turning inside that Pittsburgh Penguin dressing room and front office if they get into one game and where it bounced.
Yes. Right, and they know that Pittsburgh team, they know what this series means to Fleury. Crosby.
It's his future.
That's Kunitz. They know what it means to Fleury. And I mean, as much as I'd like to see Columbus advance and see them win for their fans, they're on a mission. I don't know. Columbus is playing damn hard.
How long can Crosby and Malkin go without scoring goals? Right.
And Neil. What's Neil got? One?
Yeah.
What's it, 10 games now for Crosby?
Mm-hmm.
8 or 9 for Malkin? That's amazing.
It's amazing.
I'd be nervous about that.
On which side?
No lead safe in that series.
There was, though.
Well,
game five.
Finally.
And Steve Simmons mentioned it, I think, in his column yesterday. Everybody's talking about Fleury. Bobrovsky has been not the greatest in this series either. I mean, he's had some minutes. Like the other night in Pittsburgh, he had to be unbelievable to keep them in it. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Tonight's is going to be a war, and Columbus are not easy to play against right now.
Colorado and Minnesota. If Zach Parise makes a rink-wide pass coming out of his own zone the other night, instead of putting it into the skates, puts it on the stick, they win because they score the empty netter.
Yeah.
Instead, it's bobbled. Ugh. Colorado comes down, and Nathan MacKinnon does his thing. And We didn't have time to get to it with Zdeno Chara, but I'd love to know exactly what he thinks watching this guy do what he's been able to accomplish.
Who?
Nathan MacKinnon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, it's an amazing story.
Highlight reel.
Amazing story. I mean, and then, you know what? I got to give Minnesota credit. They should have been screaming after that game, you know, with the offside and the play. I mean, but hey, Patrick pulls the goalie. We saw Boudreaux do the same thing, down two goals. I mean, there's been some really good coaching moves that we've seen.
Talk about the comebacks. 17 one-goal comebacks, 9 two-goal comebacks, and 1-3 goal comebacks in these playoffs.
Bizarre.
No lead has been
Dallas.
Safe.
We might have to make the Nets smaller.
4-2 Dallas.
Like, with 2 minutes to go.
Get to game 7.
God, that GM
get to game
meeting,
7.
Okay, what GM meeting I was in where they brought in all those big Nets and were showing us.
Same working.
I mean, I remember sitting there thinking, are you guys out of your minds? They were prating in these big Nets. We're going to make the Nets bigger. I'm like, oh my God. Now we need to make, you're right. You got to make them smaller now.
What? Why? Why? No. The comebacks. Why?
I don't know.
Is it because the league's younger?
Maybe.
I think the goaltending's inconsistent.
Yeah.
Inconsistent.
Compared to the last 15 years, this is a new wave of goaltender.
Is Rick Wamsley going to fix that too?
A bunch of new goalies and is what I mean. Guys coming on the scene. Los Angeles. Hey,
Kerry Lettinen last night.
They're hiring Rick Wamsley to be an NHL consultant Lettinen to fix the NHL
night,
goaltending.
Pretty good goalie. Pretty good goalie.
Pretty good goalie.
The
playoffs are different.
Third
though.
Goal, Bonino comes around.
Yeah.
He's 6 inches off the goal line. And I don't think Lettinen could have made himself smaller.
But just a minute.
I could not believe the room that he left upstairs.
Be careful what you say, because that's who the OHL's modeling their goaltending after is the Finnish goaltenders and the Finnish system.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he is.
That was a backbreaker.
Antti Niemi.
For them.
Antti Niemi.
Who tonight will try for a third straight game to close out the Los Angeles Kings.
This is frightening.
Do you start him?
What do you do with him?
Who do
start
you put
him.
In goal?
I'm starting. I'm going with my guy. I'm going with my guy. I'm not putting the backup in to take a chance.
Cover yourself, right?
You're damn right.
Put the higher paid guy
in.
Yeah,
damn right. I'm putting the
really comes down
guy.
To a pay
but
stub.
But I wouldn't be long with the hook. The hook wouldn't be three deep.
As soon as I throw it out there that I think LA can really pull this thing off, they're going to get trounced 6-1, and I'm going to, all the people on Twitter are going to,
you know what,
lambaste me. But you look at this, and you start to think, Joe, there's no reason why LA can't do this.
And did they look slow? I mean, did San Jose look slow, whereas in the first three games they looked fast? And Todd McClellan was saying after the game, he said he couldn't believe how slow and lethargic we look. Well, tonight is, oh, man.
You know what, though? It's like St. Louis against Chicago. You have some success, and then you look across the room, and they're champions, man. They've been there, and they've been there real recent.
What about
you just can never underestimate the heart of a lion.
And what about what they say, what that group of guys thinks of a battler? And you're a goaltending guy now. You're a goaltending agent, expert.
Guru.
He's pointing at Scott Morrison.
But what they think of Crawford, what they think of Crawford in that dressing room is unbelievable.
Yeah. Can we finally anoint him as the real deal? Because I think people have had doubts about him, and all he does is win.
His father was a great goalie at UPEI. Did I tell you that?
Yes. Once or twice.
Except he wasn't.
He was a forward.
Yeah, except he wasn't. That was a bad scoop by Bruce Hickey on the island.
Yeah, Bruce. I blame Bruce for that.
One of Doug's buddies.
And Sandra.
So three games tonight, three series could potentially conclude. What ends? What goes to a game 7? Pittsburgh-Columbus.
7.
Yeah, I'll go with the 7 there.
Yeah, I'll make that unanimous.
Minnesota at home to Colorado.
7.
This is, the players need the HRR to build up. I'll go 7.
You're 7.
San Jose, Los Angeles.
Now you're the only one.
Sharks win.
So far, you're the only one that's made a mistake in our polls because you picked Dallas, right?
Hey, San Jose, Los Angeles.
I was fine the last 4 minutes in game 6.
I just asked who you
picked. Scotty thinks San Jose wins tonight.
I think he might be right, but I'm picking L.A.
take San Jose.
Doug McClain's predicting 3 games.
Well,
7.
I picked L.A. How can I go against L.A. now?
Jimmy Rutherford remains with the Canes as president, but will only represent the team at the NHL governor's meetings. Nobody reports to me.
That's a good gig.
That's a great
that
job.
That is a great
That's
gig.
That's like my job here. Nobody reports to me. I report to 20 people.
Thanks for watching, listening.